Sociability is hard for me. Coffee, please. Written and read by K-Burb. This is a Danny Phantom Batfam crossover fic, rated Teen and Up audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationship between Danny Fenton and Gotham City residents and original characters. This is part two of the Quiet Magic in Plain Sight series. Danny sighs, wiping his brow as he looks around the room. Everyone is gone now, and it's just him and a frankly overwhelming number of unpacked boxes. He's certain he didn't pack this much, did he? It should feel better once he has everything unpacked, but right now the 130 square feet of space he has been allotted feels cramped. He frowns, inventorying the boxes again, and then sighs once more. Not doing this, he decides out loud. He has roommates, but he was lucky enough to snag one of the rare suites offered up by Gotham University, and even luckier to end up in the single room of the suite, which means he can make these verbal declarations and leave his boxes unpacked for now. Danny thinks he was the first one to arrive, based on the quiet of the rooms and emptiness of the common space, and no one else has shown up in the time he has been here. Either his roommates had the same idea to unpack later, or haven't arrived yet. Either way, he doesn't see a point in waiting around. According to his watch, he's got 2 hours until his mandatory orientation activities begin. He could take a nap, but if anyone shows, that will seriously interrupt any chance he has of resting, and he has to assume they will. Which leaves him with only one option, exploration. He'll stick to campus today. He remembers the layout pretty well, from his tours and Jazz's obsessive studying of maps, but he wants to case it out again all the same. He may have gotten lucky enough to obtain his own room, but there's no guarantee disaster won't strike when he's traveling from class to class that forces him to find somewhere discreet. As peaceful as Amity Park has become, with his public debut and rise to literal ghost royalty, Gotham offers up no such promises of quiet. If anything, Gotham decidedly offers up the opposite. It's why Jazz was so uncertain about Danny coming here in the first place. However, Danny chose this school for precisely those reasons. Gotham has vigilantes already, and they seem capable of handling their problems without his help. There's a few portals to the infinite realms that lie deep underneath the city, but according to all sources, they've been dormant for years now. In fact, he's heard whispers that ghosts mostly avoid Gotham. Too freaky for even ghosts. Which is perfect for him. When Danny was younger, he used to collect articles on Gotham and its vigilantism. It's not what drove him to come here, not really. His obsession had died out rather fast when he discovered how much existed beyond the mortal realm. He's not going out of his way to meet Batman, but he followed the man's rise to prominence in Gotham closely enough that it would be admittedly cool if he did. All of that is beside the point. Danny wants to focus on being normal. At least for now, as normal as a half-ghost can be. So, he explores campus, marks off locations of use, and then pushes all thoughts of vigilantes and kingly duties aside. Time to embody his new persona, normal college guy Danny Fenton. His watch beeps, 5 p.m. Orientation begins now, starting with dorm expectations, and his roommate should hopefully have all arrived. He heads back to his dorm. Danny's roommates are fine, he supposes. He only meets a few of them. There was apparently an issue on the northern island of the city that caused a delay for the others, three of whom were driving in from out of state. There's nothing wrong with them so much as they are unfamiliar. Being a loser for most of his life has been pretty useful, it seems. He hadn't even realized he was so introverted until he wasn't a loser, and suddenly everyone wanted to know the ghost boy, not run from him. He's got 7 roommates total, with him as the 8th. 2 double rooms, a triple, and his single room. He was excited about his room, about the sanctuary it would provide, but he does feel a little at odds being the only one not sharing a room. It doesn't help that several of them seem to know one another. Ari and I weren't sure about living on campus, what with our homes being so close and all, Zoanne says. She's leaning against her girlfriend. They were the first 2 to greet Danny upon his return to the suite, coming bounding out of their room with hands linked and chatting over a mile a minute. But Seb convinced us it was worth it, especially with Ari's cheerleading scholarship and my academic one. And Ariana's uncle's money, Sebastian quips. Ari gasps in clear mock indignation and flips him off. Zoanne throws a pillow and he swats it away, laughing and running a hand through his short blonde hair. Danny is confused, meaning it's probably an inside joke, which only emphasizes the feeling of being slightly outside this group that he is already harboring. He's itching to text Tucker and Sam, but it's their first days as well and he doesn't want to burden them. So he just smiles politely as the others laugh. Sebastian's in the triple room, sharing it with another friend from high school and one of the yet unknown roommates, neither of whom have made it yet. Ari and Zoanne share one of the doubles, which leaves the final room for the other 2 out-of-state roommates. Ari looks at Danny and leans towards him, jostling Zoanne a little. "So," she says, drawling out the word, "what's your story?" Danny's brain short circuits for a moment. He hasn't had to lie low in so long, and despite all of his planning, he realizes now that he hasn't really come up with a life story not centering around Amity Park or ghosts. He runs through the options. Does he tell them his hometown and risk them Googling it? It feels like a gamble, even though he and Tucker worked hard to wipe any evidence of phantom and the ecto-contamination of Amity Park from the internet. Does he mention his parents' careers? It's unlikely the people of Gotham would know the Fenton name, but again, Google is a free resource, and he thinks it would be best not to mention Fenton inventions. So what can he say now that will make him both seem normal yet interesting, and not a freak running on caffeine and ectoplasm? "Well, it's nothing special," he says with a shrug. "I grew up in a small town in Illinois with my parents and sisters. I've got 2 best friends, Sam and Tucker. My older sister and Tucker might be frequent guests," he adds. "They're going to school in Delaware and New York." "Girlfriend?" Ari asks. "Or boyfriend?" Sebastian adds. "Or just a partner," Zoanne says. "All inclusive and queer friendly, that's us." Danny laughs, nodding between her and Ari. "I'd hope so," he replies. "But no, no relationship. Sam and I were together for the past 2 years, but..." He pauses and then smiles, warmth flooding his chest as he remembers how well they left things. "We're better as friends. She's my soulmate, if that was a thing, but it's a friend thing." Zoanne hums, tucking one of her braids behind her ear. "I've got a friend like that, too," she says. "He's actually going here, too, but he doesn't live on campus." "He's kind of famous," Ari stage whispers. "Also, they both dated him," Sebastian adds. He's rewarded with a tackle from both girls, and squealing fills the room. So, yeah, they're fine. Okay, maybe he likes them already. But Danny's not ready to trust them. Not yet. It turns out, as expected, that there's no shortage of things to do, restaurants to try, and, most importantly, coffee shops to frequent in Gotham. Within just a mile of GU, there are at least 5 places to fulfill Danny's need for caffeine. 2 of these are Dunkin' Donuts, which he has quickly learned to be a staple on the East Coast. The Midwest was more populated with Starbucks, or, when they would vacation in Michigan, more local chains like Big V. Dunkin' is the thing out here, apparently. It does in a pinch, but Danny finds himself more interested in the independently owned cafes. They remind him of home, of the coffee shop by his high school, though with far better, and far less burnt, coffee. When he texts this to Tucker, he receives a voice memo in reply.
I cannot believe you are dissing Amity Brews, Daniel. 1 week in a big city and this is who you become? Shameful.
He smirks, sends a picture of the Fomar on his latte from the latest cafe he's trying out, and receives a text message stating, fair enough. There's one cafe in particular, unassuming from the outside, that draws him in. It's almost run down looking enough to be called a hole in the wall until you actually walk inside, as Danny discovers. While the outside may be crumbling bricks, with a weathered sign in need of updating, the inside is well maintained. The lighting is warm, the chairs plush, and the quietly playing music is a perfect balance of modern and classic. That especially reminds Danny of home. Of Jazz introducing Danny to study playlists and dance parties. Of his father showing her his collection of dad rock vinyls. Of his mother's love of Fleetwood Mac and how Danny fell in love with Rumours. Of sipping lattes from Amity Brews with Sam in the kitchen, listening to Danny hum a song from the latest Taylor Swift album that mentions Stevie Nicks. Of course, that is not all there is to this place. Things can never be so simple. Maybe a name like Death Before Decafe should have prepared him for what happens next, but it's a clever pun. He didn't think it meant something. All of that was Danny's initial impression of the place. But then, after the doors swing closed and the person working on the counter greets him, Danny goes to respond and sees his own breath. The words die in his throat as his arm hairs stand on end, and he has to resist the urge to immediately duck and change forms. Danny tries to recover, but the barista is staring now, frozen in place. He takes a step forward, and they startle, dropping the mug in their hand. The sound of cracking ceramic seems to fill the space. It is thankfully empty in here, beyond himself and the two staff members. The co-barista, seemingly oblivious to the tension in the air, jumps into action with a broom as Danny and employee number one remain locked in their standoff. He's not even sure why it's a standoff. Sure, his ghost sense hit, and they clearly sensed him as well, but there's nothing marking them as a threat. In all fairness, Danny supposes, most ghosts and ghost hunters stopped being a threat long ago for him. The second barista finishes sweeping and looks between their partner and Danny. They wave a hand in front of employee number one's face. Earth to Ro, they say. Employee number one, Ro, apparently, blinks a few times, then rubs their neck. Yeah, sorry about that, Theo. They look at Danny again, their expression neutral now. Welcome to Death Before Decafe. What can we get started for you? Ro asks, in a chipper customer service voice that does not match the tension still lingering between them. Danny says, stumbling a bit over his words.
Real smooth,
he thinks.
Very convincing.
It's all right, employee number two, Theo, Ro called them, responds with a smile. Take a moment to look at the menu, all right? And don't steal anything. They add, raising an eyebrow. We'll be right out. I cut myself on the mug there. Ro can get me patched up. Danny isn't sure if it's an excuse or not. He can't see the hand held behind Theo's back as they usher Ro through the swinging doors marked employee only. It all happens quickly and smoothly, before Danny can fully process anything. He's left standing there, just barely in the door, and looking stupidly towards the counter. It takes a moment, but he walks close enough to read the menu behind the board. Written in an array of colorful chalk and bordered with artwork that reminds him of Sam. There's more puns within the drink names, but he's drawn to one in particular. In the place of a name is a caution sign, and the description simply states, a latte with enough caffeine to raise the dead. It's probably not what he needs right now, with classes yet to begin and evening fast approaching, but he takes note of it all the same. There's the sound of a whispered debate occurring in the back room. Once more, Danny finds himself resisting becoming Phantom. It would be so easy to go invisible, open the door as if he's run off, and then eavesdrop on the employees. Yet, that would be using his powers inappropriately, especially considering he still has no valid reason to believe either Ro or Theo are up to anything nefarious. He hasn't done anything like that in years. He's trying to be normal guy, Danny. So instead, he just waits, standing awkwardly at the counter. Eventually, Theo emerges from the back, hand wrapped in gauze. It still may have just been an excuse. If so, they've committed to it, but it doesn't really matter. Whatever they were talking about, whatever Ro may have sensed and been willing to confide in Theo, it doesn't concern him until it does. If it ever does. Everything about this could have been a fluke, a weird shift in energy that tricked his senses. He's not perfect. Sorry about that, Theo apologizes. Let's start over, shall we? I like fresh starts, Danny agrees. Splendid. I'm Theo. My pronouns are she, her. Before you judge us, I swear the shop isn't usually this empty. Once the campus has anyone but freshmen around, we'll be busier, she says. And my boss isn't usually so clumsy and cold either. Don't know what got into them. Danny notices that Theo's voice hitches a little with the last sentence, but doesn't comment. Instead, he smiles back at her and replies, I look forward to seeing you guys in action. She brightens. Unlike Ro, Theo's customer service personality seems to come across as natural and genuine, though in Ro's defense, something about Danny apparently had thrown them for a loop. So you plan to come back then? Theo asks. Depends on the coffee, Danny says. It's not really a joke. He is on the hunt for the perfect cup, and there's already some contenders in town. You'll be back, comes Ro's voice as they push through the back doors. They look more settled now. I'm biased, sure, but we brew a good fucking roast. Theo reaches back without looking, and they fist bump one another. Ro's right. The espresso is rich, the milk perfectly foamed, and the little bat signal drawn on top makes Danny laugh a little when Theo hands him the cup. He does like it here, with the warm lights and soft music. But when he leaves, he's still unsure about returning. The risk is hard to calculate, without knowing for sure what Ro was able to sense or pick up on. He could keep returning, gain her trust, figure it out, or he could avoid the place to help keep his persona going. As he lets himself back into his suite, he settled on that as the idea. And yet, a week later, classes have begun, and Danny finds himself back at the cafe during his break. The sheer number of syllabi and books to order has overwhelmed him, and it's only day two of the semester. He needs caffeine, and he finds himself almost craving that drink with the caution sign. He shouldn't go in. He does anyway, because Danny has never been good at the whole self-preservation thing. Theo was right about business picking up, but he spots a tall table in the corner and puts his things down. There's a new person behind the counter with Theo, and he can't see Ro anywhere. I knew you'd be back, Theo says brightly, and he flushes. I want the caution sign drink, he says, dodging the comment entirely. The new-to-him barista, whose name tag reads Fox, he, him, whistles under his breath. You sure, buddy? You're a freshman, right? Theo asks. When Danny nods, she snorts. You can't handle waking the dead.
If only you knew, Danny thinks.
But all he says is, trust me, I can. Your funeral, she quips. Again, the irony of it all. Frox shrugs and inputs the order, taking Danny's cash from him. A few minutes later, Theo slides a large cup across the counter to him. The aroma hits immediately, bitter and strong. It smells like heaven. Caffeine is always calm, Danny. Jazz says it's ADHD. Sam says he's weird. Whatever it is, he doesn't care. The scent alone is already focusing his brain. So he takes his cup with a simple, thank you, and heads back to his table. He can feel Fox and Theo watching him, which he takes as a challenge. He takes three large swigs, aware that it is too hot to do so, but not caring. Fox whistles again, and Theo gives him a thumbs up. Danny likes it here. He shouldn't, but he does. Which means he'll just have to be careful. And maybe come back after hours to try to get to the bottom of whatever lurks behind the warm atmosphere of the death before decafé. Because he'd like his ghost sense to leave him alone and let him enjoy his caffeine and studying in peace. The end. Author's note. Yes, Sebastian is Sebastian Ives, aka the first friend Tim made at public school, who was just like a massive D&D, DC's version, nerd, but was a solid friend to him. And also, yes, Zoanne and Ari are exes of Tim's in canon. In this, though, they went on like a few dates with him before each realizing they were better as friends. So at least in this AU, Tim can't have even considered cheating on Ari or breaking Zoe's heart. Sebastian just calls them his exes because it makes the friend group funnier. And I opted to tag them, since all the other characters are OCs, and I thought it would be fun. The end for real this time.